The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, folks. Last week, we started talking about how do we get from where we are to where we want to be. You know, behind me, you have this landscape of the city of Las Vegas, our field of mission, our field where 98% of the people in this valley have no relationship to God. If you can imagine that 88%, where they have no relationship. 8 out of 10 people, almost 9 out of 10 people, have no walk with God. We keep the city before us because this is where God has placed us. You know, we're designing the building. If you were to go back there, if you drove through there, the volleyball, what do you call them? Volleyball court. Thank you. Is gone. The basketball court is gone. The modulars are gone. The sidewalk that's on the other side of that fence, that is our center court, is gone. The sidewalk along the perimeter is gone. And that building is going to come online, 31,000 square feet. It has a 300-seat student worship area, 150-seat children worship area. It's going to be a great, great place for us to reach the generations to come that live in Las Vegas. You know, everywhere I go, in fact, it happened to me while I was on vacation. I was in Colorado Springs, and lady asked where we were from. We were in a meeting with church people from all over America, and she happened to be, I think, from Mississippi, and she said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Las Vegas," and I almost saw her back up, you know, like she was going to catch something. And she said, "Oh," she literally said, "Oh, Sin City." And I want to be Christian in those instances. But I looked at her and I said, you know, the funny thing, and then I thought about it later, I shouldn't have said it this way. I said, my wife and I found sin every city that we go to. I know it sounds like we go to cities looking for sin, but that's not what I meant. But God's placed you and me here. And we live in a unique city that needs to know that God cares and that God loves them. We talked last week about how we get there. One of the ways is we connect. We talked about connecting last week. Are you going to be a brick in the building? I don't mean a brick laying on the floor, because if you're a brick laying on the floor, you're not connected. And some folks, that's how they treat church. They're in the church, but they're not a part of the church. And God says you need to be a part of the church. A Christian without a church home is like a football player without a team and like an army soldier without a platoon. You're not very effective. And so God calls us to be a brick in the building. He calls us to be a member of the body. You know, if you cut my hand off, it's not effective. But attached to my body, it functions. And we need to be attached to the body. The Bible says we're all different. We have all different kinds of roles. And we're all necessary. So now, no matter what your gift is, no matter what your talent, ability is, no matter what your heart is, you're necessary. And God has brought you to Shadow Hills. So you need to be a brick in the building and a member of the body. You need to be sheep in the flock. Because sheep in the flock are where we're protected and where we're cared for. And you need somebody in those tough times of life to help you along. And then it said you're a member of the family. You know, I've my wife and I this week will celebrate 44 years of being married, and I can tell you, we've been mad at each other. We haven't. Thank you. I waited until she wasn't in church to say that, you know. But no, I mean that's a big thing for us, because when we got married, they said it ain't gonna last. There's no way. There's no way a pretty thing like that can be married to that guy for very long. So, but here we are. And I can tell you, we've been angry at each other. We've had times we didn't want to talk to each other. There's, you know, all of these things that went on. I told you, you know, when we were traveling for one summer, we'd been together for 3 weeks, 24 hours a day for 3 weeks. And, you know, she graciously came and said, you know, we've been together for 24 hours a day for 3 weeks. I said, I know. She said, I need a break. I said, am I that awful? You know, no. But, you know, families, that's the way we operate. We don't always get along. We don't always see eye to eye. We're not always on the same page. A lot of times we're loving and caring and giving gifts and taking care of one another. That's how families operate. And we don't bail out simply because there's a hard time. So how we get there is by being a brick in the building and a member of the body and sheep in the flock and a part of the family, a member of the family. I want to build on that today and talk about our relationships, because when all of that's true, our relationships are working well. Somebody came to Jesus one time and basically said to Jesus, what is the most important thing that God says for us to do? If you can imagine that. Somebody comes to Jesus and says, you're the Son of God. What is the most important thing God tells us to do? And Jesus, man, he never missed a beat. He didn't say, climb the ladder. He didn't say, earn a six-figure salary. He didn't say, be super successful. He didn't say, be super popular. He never missed a beat. He said, love God, love each other. Some of you have already said it. You are right. Love God, love each other. If you want to know the number one thing that God wants you to do, it is love him and love others. Jesus said in John, by this men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That building's going to be beautiful. In fact, I was thinking, somebody said, you know, my Bible study class will start up the week after Labor Day. And I was thinking, when the building gets built, we could meet out there in that 300-seat worship center. That'd be wonderful. More space. It's going to be for all kinds of things. It's going to be a beautiful building. But beautiful buildings don't impress God. You know, beautiful buildings don't impress God. Programs. I think about the Awana program, and I believe the Awana program has great potential for us. I think Sunday night's going to be a home run. But we need people to help us. But God's not impressed with programs. What God is impressed is when we love him and we love each other more than anything. Why is that? Well, because when we have a strong relationship with God and a strong relationship with each other, some things happen that don't happen otherwise. For instance, when you have a strong relationship with God and with another believer, they can challenge you. God challenges us. You ever had the Spirit of God just challenge your heart? You need to do something? Some of you are going to experience that as we come to the time of making commitments for the Capital Funds program in giving. And you're going to, you know, God's going to challenge you to do something you've never done before. But our friends challenge us too. When I was 15 years old, I felt in my heart God wanted me to be a pastor. When I was 16 years old, my pastor at that time took me to Phoenix, Arizona, to a big church. It was a big church to me, the biggest church I'd ever been in at that time. And we came back, and we were standing on the porch of Twin Lakes Baptist Church, which was about 4 miles down Vegas Drive down here. I could take you there today and almost show you exact spots and positions we were standing in because I remember it so clearly. And we were talking about that church, and I said, that church is too big. I said, I don't know how anybody could take care of a church like that. I don't ever want to pastor a church like that. And he looked at me, and I at first I thought he was mad. He said, don't limit God in your life. He said, don't limit God in your life. He said, I could see God using you, and you don't know what God's going to do. He may put you in some small place. He may put you in a larger place for influence. And that challenged my heart. And you know what? It gave me some confidence. It gave me some confidence for the days to come. And he challenged me. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit the plan of God. Challenge me. That's what relationships do. They challenge us. The second thing that challenges do, if you look on your listening notes there, they provide encouragement. You know, every one of us are going to have difficulty in our lives. And we're going to need encouragement to stay by it, to stay with it and what's going on. Have you ever tried to encourage yourself? It doesn't last very long. First of all, if it works at all, it doesn't work for very long. You need cheerleaders in your life that come alongside you and encourage you. And you need protected by comfort. We all go through things that are tough. We all go through things that are hard. And you need somebody else to say, I'm here. I'm with you. You need somebody walking in when everybody else is walking out. Well, God says when you develop a relationship with Him and you develop relationships, strong relationships with other people. Now, you can't do that with the whole church, but you can do it with five or six people. And developing a relationship with those people, that's what happens. They challenge you. They bring you strength and encouragement. They bring you comfort when life knocks you down. And God does the same thing. It's exactly what God does in my life. He challenges me to step out. Folks, very, very honestly, I did not intend to build another building. I thought I'd retire and the next guy could do that. But God began to challenge my heart and challenge the heart of our staff. We need the time is now. The need is great. The time is now. That was God's message to us. So here we are. And I imagine before it's over, I'm going to need some comfort along with the Maalox that I take. But that's what God does, and that's what other people do. I need to be a little stronger in my relationship, but how do I get there? I want to show you this morning, real quickly, four choices that you will make. You will make one or the other of these choices. There are going to be eight options, and you are going to do one of the four. And if you do the right four, it will strengthen the relationships in your life. The first of these choices, you have to decide, am I going to be detached or attached? And this is terribly vital for us. Because in America today, we are walking down a path of being detached. We pretend to be attached. We pretend to be attached by our Facebook, our Instagram, our tweeting, our email. We pretend. But I won't give you a clue if nobody's told you. To develop a relationship, you actually have to meet with the person. You can't do it electronically. But here's what scares the daylights out of me. And I pulled this up off the computer, so I know it's accurate. It says right here. And then it's got red writing on it, too. Digital. How long are we connected to digital stuff? 5 hours and 9 minutes a day on the average. A person is connected to digital stuff. What gets me is we also watch television 4 hours and 30 minutes a day. If you are connected 5 hours and 10 minutes to electronics and you are watching television 4 hours and 30 minutes a day, you are spending over 9 hours a day digitally connected. And at the same time, you're working 8 hours a day, so that's 17 hours. If you get 7 hours of sleep, you are not developing relationships. And the problem with not developing relationships is you become vulnerable. You become vulnerable. And when you become vulnerable, then you're on your own. The Bible in Ecclesiastes says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. You can be attacked and defeated when you're by yourself because you're vulnerable. Most of us in this room have had some experience of feeling vulnerable. You've been walking down a street or walking somewhere by yourself, and all of a sudden you just get this scary feeling. You're vulnerable. Well, the Bible says if we're not busy developing relationships, we get vulnerable. But look at the rest of this verse. Two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We have to commit ourselves to developing stronger relationships. Somebody said the more high-tech you become, the more high-touch you better be. I think that's true. Because when we are developing relationships, study after study has shown that people in relationships are happier, they're more successful, they're healthier, they live longer. Every one of us are going to face a crisis. The question is, who's going to be there when you're facing the crisis? You can't develop a relationship in a crisis because you're too frazzled and too overwhelmed and too burdened and too crushed. You have to build them beforehand. So if you're sitting there thinking today, you know, I'm isolating myself. I'm too busy. I'm in too much of a hurry. Some of you isolate yourself because you've been hurt. And so you say, well, I'm just not going to do that anymore. You have to make a decision. You are at a crossroads. Will you develop relationships that strengthen you? Will you bring some people into your life, maybe just a handful of people into your life, that you know can challenge you, can encourage you, and comfort you? Now, you can't do that with everybody, but I rejoice in my life that I have a handful of men in my life that I know can do those things for me. And they strengthen me. They come alongside. They're my cheerleaders, and they're my comfort. They're my encouragement, the challengers. The first step, you've got to decide that you're going to do that. Now, these steps each build on the other. That takes me to the second step, and the first step is a risk, all right? It's always a risk, because none of us are comfortable. Nobody likes going to a new room unless, you know, unless you're a real extrovert and you've got more self-confidence than Carter has liver pills, then you like to go into rooms like that. Most of us are a little uncomfortable in developing relationships. It's a risk, but if you'll take that risk, God uses that experience to comfort, to strengthen, to challenge, to direct you. It takes time. The second thing, you make a choice of make-believe or reality. Once you decide that you're going to develop relationships, you got another choice to make. And that choice is, are you going to be real or are you going to fake it? Jesus had a word for people who faked it. There was a group of people in his time that faked it a lot. And they were called Pharisees. And a Pharisee is somebody, listen to what Jesus says about a Pharisee. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. I've probably been to more cemeteries than most people in this room. And most cemeteries that I go to are groomed, the grass is cut, the grave sites are nice, the flowers are in order. But we know what it is. It's filled with people who passed on. What Jesus is saying to these Pharisees is, you paint yourself up with some whitewash to look good on the outside, but you know what's on the inside. And so you pretend, you fake it, like you're really what you look like on the outside, but you're not on the inside. And so here's the choice to be made. You can make a choice. Now, not everybody's going to know everything about you, and so I understand that, but some people are going to know everything about you and your family, your close friends. Do you want them saying, I like you, you're my friend, I'm happy to be around you, while the whole time you're looking on the inside at dead men's bones, and you know the way you think, and you know the thoughts that you have, and you know the actions that you take and the words that you say, and you're looking at them thinking, you say that now, but if you knew the real me, you wouldn't be saying that. See, that's faking it. That's faking it. What Jesus is saying is you've got to learn to be real. Once you decide to commit yourself to some relationships, you know, notice he said, one person who has another with him, one person that has two other with him. He's not talking about a great big crowd. He's talking about a handful of people who've got your back that can encourage and comfort and challenge you. Now, you have to develop those in small groups. You can't develop that in here. There's nobody in here. Listen, I'm not running for president because I know me. And I don't want everybody digging in my past because I don't want you knowing all about me. And you probably feel the same way. Now, there's some of you that, just because you're not smart enough to have sense, that you don't want everybody to know about you, that tell everything like that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people who know you, your motives, and know who you are. As I said, I'm grateful that I have some men in my life that know me. They know who I am. They know where I struggle. They know the battles that I fight. They know the chink in my armor. They know the Achilles heel. They know me. And what he's saying is you've got to decide, are you going to be real or are you going to try to fake it? Because if you're going to try to fake it, it takes a lot of energy to fake it. And there's not any perfect people. We need to just get that out in the open right now. There's nobody here that's better than anybody else. Everybody in this room, by the very fact that you're alive, you instigated, you did your part in the death of Jesus. So let me just suggest this to you. Everybody in this room is a murderer. Now, that's not what you came to church to hear. And most of you are going to go out here and say, well, I never. Well, yeah, you did. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because of sin. Whose sin? Yours? Mine? What did they do to him on the cross? They killed him. We want to think about Jesus dying as crucifixion. We want to use words like, Golgotha and Calvary. You want to think real about the death of Jesus, Think more about a lynch mob that came and strung him up and killed him. And he died because of me. So at the very best, I'm responsible for somebody's death. You see, no perfect people. And we need to be honest with some folks. Say, this is me, this is my struggle. Why? Because they can encourage you and challenge you and comfort you when you fail. All right? So he says, you've got to make this choice. You know, Ephesians 4, what this adds up to then is this: no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. How do I be honest? I do it with my words, one relationship at a time. When God brings somebody into my life that I can develop that relationship with, I can help them know, hey, this is who I am. How do I do this? Hebrews, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Don't quit meeting together. As I said, if you're going to develop a relationship, you have to meet that person. God knows we struggle with this, but he writes us this word of encouragement. The church in the book of Acts, they were all together and they shared everything. They were together developing a relationship. Folks, I know, I've been here long enough, I know that Shadow Hills is an easy place to hide. You can come in here and you can sing and you can enjoy church and enjoy worship and then leave here and nobody know you. But that's not what God calls us to be. That's a brick in the building. He calls us to be a brick of the building. Some of you, if you're checking us out and this is your first time here, or second or third or fourth time here, and you're just watching, I understand that. That's okay. But if you've been here 6 or 7 years and you're still hiding, that's a little much, don't you think? You've got to decide I'm going to be connected, and you've got to decide when I get connected, I'm going to be real. There's all kinds of places. You have divorce care. You have the journey. You have grief. You have salt. You have helping hands. You want to know one of the greatest places to be connected? Go be an asphalt angel. They are persecuted Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they've got each other's back. You can teach in preschool or children or the Awanas. So all kinds of places that you can meet people, and God's going to hook you up with somebody. Isn't it time to make the connection? Third thing, you choose the easy way or the hard way. Now, remember the first two decisions. First decision, I'm going to be connected. The second decision, I'm going to be real. When you decide to be real, now you got another choice, and that is, are you going to take the easy way or the hard way? Because the easy way, when you choose to be real and somebody else chooses to be real, it's going to be tough because relationships are hard and relationships are messy. But if you're going to be real, that means you have to say, I'm going to take the hard way. I'm going to stick to it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowance for each other's faults. What does that mean? Just read that. Relationships are messy. It's hard sometimes to be in relationships. Relationships cost you. And you've got to say, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stick to it. I'm not going to bail on this relationship. I'm going to take the hard way. Folks, relationships take work. You cannot work relationships according to your Outlook calendar on your phone. 7 to 7:15, quality time with the kids. Let me tell you what's going to happen. One of them's going to be late. Just 3 minutes late, and you're going to be mad. So they're 3 minutes late. You spend the next 2 minutes griping at them, and a third of your time is gone. 9 o'clock to 9:30, fight with the wife. You can't schedule that. Fights just happen. And by the way, if you're scheduling fights, you need to come and talk with me. Something is wrong. All right? You can't lead your relationships according to that kind of calendar. You know, the Bible says there's one key to this. Be humble and gentle. Those are two good words. And then it says, be patient. I hate that. Be patient. Why do I have to be patient with everybody? There's some of you that are just hard to be patient with. I'm patient because God is patient with me. I'm patient because those people in my life who know me are patient with me. I'm patient because I get patience. I'm grateful for that patience. I need to be patient with other people. What does that patience look at like? 1 Corinthians, love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. You've got to decide, I'm going to be a brick in the building. I'm going to develop the relationships. I'm going to be real. This is who I am. And I'm not going to give up when the relationship gets hard. God is still working. I'm still there. And I'm deciding right now that there is hope. And then number four, you're going to have to make that choice of comfort or change. Because when you do these three things, it's going to get uncomfortable. It's going to get uncomfortable. I want what Jesus said. He said, I came to give life in all of its fullest. I want that. I want life in all of its fullest. But I want it the easy way. I want it sitting in my recliner eating tomatoes with a little salt on them. And change just to come. But it doesn't happen that way. Look at this Bible verse here. As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. Now, I've heard guys talk about that. You'd have thought God was saying it. As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens. And they make it sound so holy and pious. Do you know what happens when you put a piece of metal on a grinder? Sparks fly. Smoke rises. The metal gets hot and changes shape. When people sharpen one another, sparks fly, and then the barking starts. You yell at each other, and it's not real pretty, but it's still true. Iron does sharpen iron, and relationships do sharpen one another. And what it says is, when I develop these relationships, it's going to require change. It's going to require me losing some rough spots and me losing some dull edges and somebody grinding that out of my life. It doesn't have to be mean. The Bible says in Hebrew, think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. Encourage. You have the power with a simple word of encouragement to make the difference. To make the difference. So, four things. Are you willing to say, I'm going to develop these relationships? Now, you have to get in a small group to do that. You can't do that in here. You know, we really, for the most part, encourage and comfort and challenge one another in here on a one-to-one basis. This is a big group, but we do it in our smaller groups. I'm going to get engaged in those relationships. I'm going to put myself in a position where I can develop those friendships. And I'm going to be real. I'm going to be who I am. And in being who I am, I recognize that means I'm going to have to change. You know, something's going to happen in my life where I have to move out of the comfort zone and change, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stay by it. Do you know the only way to do that? The only way to do that is with the most important relationship, and that's the one where Jesus said, love God. I don't think any of us have the power and strength to stay in a relationship. We can't get connected. We can't challenge one another. We can't comfort one another. We can't encourage one another if we don't have a relationship with Jesus who is doing that in our lives. If we don't have that walk with Him. He says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear me, open the door. I'll come in and we'll share a meal as friends. Here's what Jesus is saying. Here's what I want first. I want a relationship with you. He says, I'm standing at the door knocking. And if you open the door, I'll come in and we'll work this out. And some of you are thinking, I don't want him coming in because I don't want him seeing my room. It's messy. I don't want to embarrass you, but he's already seen it. He knows. And you know what? He knows, and he's knocking anyway because he loves you. And he says, I want to make a difference in your life. He still says, I want to come in. I want to be a part of your life. So you think about that. First choice, to have a relationship with Jesus. Second choice, get connected with his children. Third choice, be real. Fourth choice, I'm going to stick with it. Fifth choice, I'm going to be willing to change and grow. Folks, all of that, it's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these moments right now, thank you for meeting us here in this place, and thank you for loving us. And I pray that you would enable us to say yes to the choice. And we pray it in Jesus' name.